Communications disruption can mean only one thing: invasion.
You must contact me.
Negotiation? We've lost all communication.
Hello, and welcome to CO Bibbles Babble Bubble, your one-stop shop. All things Star Wars prequels and prequels appreciation. This week we got a slew of fun things lined up for you. Inspired by a conversation I had with my good friend Zabologist, one of the co-hosts of It's True, All of It, a Star Wars podcast. This entire podcast is going to be focused on the action figures of the Star Wars prequels era. So this is a big reason for celebration and a lot of fun. I've mentioned a little bit in the past my own personal history with toys and merchandise from the Star Wars prequels, but to have a whole episode set aside, I'm really pleased with. So to really dive into it later on in the episode, I will play an interview that me and Zabologist had recently, talking about his collection of minifigures, which is truly fantastic. He has, I think, upwards of 600, if not more, with 150 of them displayed, and I felt truly privileged to get a tour of his collection that we're going to dive into. And then also, after that interview's done, we're going to loop around to kind of some fan interaction we had going on in the Twitter sphere, where I asked members of the Babble Bubble family, the listeners, the fans, the diehards, the people who just happen to see it on Twitter but have never listened before, you, the folks who give me your support and time to listen to this, what do you think about the action figures of the Star Wars prequels? You know, what is the favorite action figure that of yours from that period that you have or have had? Or even if it's not something you had, what's something you always wanted? Maybe now that you're an adult, you can indulge in your guilty pleasures and get that, you know, on eBay, at a toy store. Amazon even has a couple of them. You know, they're pricey, but, you know, the things that we do for the fandom. So it's a lot of fun. Before we dive into the interview, I just want to sort of set the stage a little bit and talk about my own personal history with action figures. I was never much of an action, or I guess you could say I still am, not much of an action figure collector. That was never really my main focus. That being said, of course, being a younger person during the prequels, I had my fair share of Star Wars prequels toys and action figures, which I took out of the box and I played with and had a lot of fun with and put them in imaginary scenarios. And as I have talked about in the past, as well as what I have sort of mentioned on social media, what's so great about the prequels is that they came out, during a wealth of pop culture. So we have, you know, the early rise of the Harry Potter films. We have the Lord of the Rings trilogy. This is when we have, you know, the X-Men films and the first three Spider-Men all hanging out around the same time. Oh, and the Matrix, too, that the prequels are coming out. And so there was just so many different action figures and cool toys, and it was so much fun to sort of play around with different pieces. I mean, of course, the Lord of the Rings action figures from, you know, Two Towers, Return of the King are kind of, in my opinion, like the height of action figure excellence, because what they did is they had these thousands of photos taken of all the actors to make them as photorealistic as possible, and you do a lot of cool stuff with them. So it was fun to take, you know, Boromir, Theoden, or Aragorn, and put them, you know, fighting a battle droid and Jar Jar Binks and Qui-Gon Jinn, and get to act out those things. And, you know, I had a friend who had a video camera, and we'd often sort of, you know, show their scenes on camera and whatnot. And she actually did really cool stuff with stop motion, taking multiple pictures to have it that kind of choppy, fluid look, so you wouldn't see our hands in the way. So that was truly a lot of fun to bring that alive. You know, action figures are a way to bring the Star Wars universe and all toys in general, you know, that we see on screen into our homes, into our living rooms, into the playground, etc. onto the playground, I guess one could say. But yeah, for me, if you look at the three prequels, The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, I had the most stuff for Attack of the Clones. And this was done largely by design. I have a May birthday, so my birthday parties and whatnot always lined up really well for these Star Wars releases. So naturally, I had an Attack of the Clones birthday party, or, you know, we went to all go see it, and so I got a lot of Star Wars toys relating to the merchandise of that film. But then by the time Revenge of the Sith rolled around, I was about to move from New Jersey back to Texas, so because of that, I mean, I literally saw Revenge of the Sith in theaters, you know, the opening night deal, after like an orchestra concert, and then moved less than a week later. So I never really had the chance to like get new things, because I had to pack up the old stuff. So I kind of missed out on some of the Revenge of the Sith merchandise, which is not a knock on it or its quality. And, you know, it's one of those things that I say, if I get back to it, I will, you know, start collecting things. Because this is a prequels show that I'm running here, and I actually own an embarrassingly little amount of stuff from the third and final movie. I got the first two down, but yeah, the third one, and not new. But anyhow, we'll go ahead and jump to the person who I'd say is the closest I know to being a professional at this, Mr. Zabologist himself.
We are joined here today by a guest who we've had on before, the ever illustrious, always bringing up very educated and intellectual points, Mr. Zabologist here on the show. Hello, Zabologist. How's it going?
Oh, hello, really well. Good to be back on the show again, Reed. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a while, and I know our listeners will be happy to hear your voice here on the good old Babble Bubble airwaves. So, you know, I am. You are the inspiration for this special prequels figures episode that we're running here right now, because you sent me a picture of some of yours, and so I'd love to talk about some of the figures that you have, the ones you consider your favorites, any fond memories.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
prompted you to get them? Is it a love of the design, a love of the characters? I guess start with your top five, top 10, whatever feels the most natural to you.
Sure, I'll jump right in. Well, basically, everyone there, I sent a photo of my prequel figures, obviously, because Reed and I know each other through our podcasts, and we've had each other on each other's shows before, and this is a second time finally getting around to it. I've actually had a little bit of spare time. This is my normal holiday time anyway. So I was moved into a house a couple of years ago, and I wanted to put my figures up on the wall, but like, I've got quite a big collection. I've been collecting, well, let's say when I was a little kid, I started off with having the figures Lando, Lobot, and R2-D2, like the original Kenner ones back in the early 80s. And then by the time I got to 1987 or something, whatever, I was getting too old to play with toys, but I just hung on to them. And I might have sold my other toys, but I hung on to them. And then early 90s, when the Thrawn trilogy came out, or just before that, I thought, oh, I'm going to keep this as a collection. And I actually maybe early or mid-90s, I went back, bought the rest of the Kenner line, like what I could find in shops. It wasn't so much expensive then, out of the packets. And then 95, 96, 97 is when the first sort of green carded figures started coming out of the Star Wars figures redoing. So, and I thought, oh, should I collect them again? And I thought, nah, they didn't look that good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released this Yoda, and I thought, that looks all right. And the Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back, Han in Carbonite, and Bush, Leia in Bush disguise. And I went, I bought those, and then I went, oh my God, if they look good, I'll buy them. So that was my thing. If the figure looked good, because the first lot weren't looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I'd go to a shop and one guy goes, I've got Darth Vader with removable helmet. And I thought, oh, wow, that was so new. That was so exciting. You know, mm-hmm. That was never released in Kenner. So it went on from there. So then it progressed to like the Phantom Menace packets with the red because of the Darth Maul. And then they started, the greens packets turned to blue packets. So there was, you know, with the Attack of the Clones mainly. And then during the Revenge of the Sith, they released the lot with the, I mean, you know, you've seen them anyway, but like the fire of Darth Vader, you know, mask, head, helmet, shape with the packets. And then during along that time, you'd start to get things becoming a little bit more different. They tried to make the figures look better. And then they did what caught my eye was they did the original trilogy collection and the saga collection. Now, what they are is they had the figure, but they put like a little picture or something on the background. So this is, to me, was starting to get very much more like the originals, what I knew, like buying a figure. You'd have a photo of the a movie scene, or you have a photo of the character interacting with something. And I went, oh, we're finally getting there, you know? And so as over this goes over years, this is, and then they did the 30th anniversary edition where they might've released the original Ralph McQuarrie designs of a stormtrooper with a shield, Ralph McQuarrie himself in a Hoth gear. And the Boba Fett that was sort of white, or the concept of Boba Fett, or the Boba Fett in the holiday special. So anyway, it was just getting exciting. But then around the 30th anniversary, or either shortly before or shortly after, the saga collection and the original trilogy collection started to look exact same packaging what it was like, Kenner, when I bought the figures when I was a kid. I went, ah, here we go. So during that time, any figure that I bought, so say for an example, if I bought Kit Fisto, now, or Yoda, Darth Maul, Qui-Gon Jinn, General Grievous, Luke Skywalker in Hoth gear, with the vintage collection, the figure looks good in the packaging. The old packaging, it's like, oh, I don't need it anymore. And I'd either sell it or take it out of the packet for a loose figure. So over the years, I bought so many and replaced them all to make them until I got better. So I was I've never been into the black series because of the 6-inch. I like them all consistent. And just recently, the beginning of last year sometime, they finally released the retro style, which is exactly the same as what they were, exactly the same molds. And I'm thinking, about time. And so even for this, like for an example, I have Chewbacca, Darth Vader and Stormtrooper in the vintage collection, so the same carding, but the vintage has come out with exactly the same mold as it was back in the you know, late 70s, mid 80s. With so now that vintage one, it's like, oh, you've been replaced now, if that makes sense. And yeah, that's sort of like a basic history of it. And I've got on order the Empire Strikes Back, probably because of the 40th anniversary. They've got six figures of Yoda, Lando, Boba Fett, Luke, Han and Leia in Hoth gear, or Luke's in Dagobah, Bespin gear. So that's sort of basically the history and the passion of it. And I always usually buy one figure. I buy the same figure twice. I can take one out of the packet so I can put them up on the shelf and put them loose. And obviously things like Stormtroopers, I've got like 50 Stormtroopers, and then I've probably got like 10 Biker Scouts, 10 Snow Stormtroopers, 5 or 6 AT-AT drivers and TIE Fighter pilots. So yeah, and it's the same even with the Clone Wars, like heaps of clone troopers. And yeah, there we go. So that's an introduction. I've talked a lot about it, so you can ask me some questions or anything you're interested.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, you know, I feel like the people who are listening should be envious of me right now, because I get to see Zoologist has been showing me his wall with his figures on there, and it's really impressive. It's a super, super cool thing to watch. Oh, is that my boy Yeriel Poof that you just had?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, that
he made it on the wall, because this is, I've got about 150 or so on the wall, and that's probably, I'm not sure exactly, maybe a fifth of my collection.
Oh, wow.
But I have a feeling when I look through it all, I might get rid of another good 100 or so, because it's just, I've got the figures repeated, or, you know, And I was thinking, oh, I've got to have him on the wall because it's just robot chicken, mate.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah, exactly. Because it's probably the same robot chicken that they
use. And the funniest thing is I would have bought that figure up before the robot chicken skit. So I have no idea why. Like, I just wanted that character. It was just the look, the packaging, and yeah.
Oh, he's ridiculous looking. It's just like, just even on its own, the packaging could have been, you know, a cardboard box that was cut out and have a, you know, Glad wrap or something to to see the inside, because it's just that good of a look. Which prequel do you think you have the most figures from?
Which, like, prequel figure, like, character you mean? As in,
well, yeah, both the character and both which film do you think you have the most
figures? Oh, which film? Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. That's a good question. It'll be between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. Because I know for The Phantom Menace, like, obviously when the movie came out, I bought quite a few of them, and then I either got rid of some or just maybe I didn't buy that many. The only Phantom Menace is Watto, Qui-Gon, both in the Mos Espa disguise and standard. And then I don't even have that young Obi-Wan anymore, I don't think, from Phantom Menace. Because, you know, I've got so many Obi-Wans in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. But yeah, Revenge of the Sith or Attack of the Clones. Very hard. Yeah. They're looking very even.
Yeah.
Between the two. Well, and there's a lot, yeah.
It was nice because you know, in those films we really got to see more Jedi in action.
Yes.
Because they weren't really releasing many you know, Jedi Council members as action figures for the Phantom Menace, if I recall, at least when the film came out, because they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting down. But once you start to get, like, yeah, you know, Battle Geonosis versions.
Yes.
You know, and then, of course, when the Clone Wars have started and everything in Revenge of the Sith, you get to actually see, you know, what color their lightsaber is and, you know, in battle stuff.
Well, that's interesting when you say that, because it's like, I remember Ki-Adi Mundi. I really got into that character, and obviously he says like two lines in The Phantom Menace, but I read the comics. I'm an actual, that could, hey, this could be a talk next time I'm on your show, or maybe on one of our shows, about my comic collection or passion for comics.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I know last time I had you on, we talked a little bit about the comics, but yeah, it'd be great to have a full set aside for it.
Yeah, well, the only reason why I just brought that up now is because Ki-Adi Mundi was a character, there was a comic about him. I think, did I talk to you about this before? I talked to somebody about this before on a podcast. But anyway, it was like a Jedi who had a few wives or something. And it was just, the comic series was just called Star Wars. Like, it was Star Wars ongoing. Mm-hmm. And they were releasing these comics out before The Phantom Menace came out. So you got to know some of these characters, right? That barely did anything in The Phantom Menace because the Jedi Council, it wasn't the focus on the story much for them. But anyway, Ki-Adi Mundi had a purple lightsaber in the packet. So cool. And then obviously, you know, his is blue in Attack of the Clones. So then when he got released in Attack of the Clones, he had a blue lightsaber, and vice versa for Mace Windu. He had a blue lightsaber in the Phantom Menace packaging. And then in the Attack of the Clones, he had a purple lightsaber because you finally saw his purple-coloured lightsaber. And I think even on those Jedi Council members, so Adi Gala and I'm not sure who else, but like she even had a red lightsaber.
Oh, wow.
Or it was like some sort of reddish-orangey one. And then another few had yellow lightsabers. So, yeah, that became consistent when we saw Attack of the Clones, when they, hang on, they're just green and blue. And I mean, like, my wish is always like, why back then, or Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones, could we have seen more purples and yellows and just clear silver, just different colors? But anyway, I'm not writing it, so.
Yeah, no, I'm also a big fan of the multicolor lightsabers. Yeah. I mean, that's one reason I love the end of The Rise of Skywalker so much, because we get to see, you know, Rey's lightsaber that's different from the whole red, blue, and green narrative that just gets so tired. You know, you be creative. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter if it necessarily makes sense. You can just make it whatever color. Get some, you know, unique kind of different shades of purple. Or darker blues, or lighter blues and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, because it's like the yellow when I actually had a wish, a dream, like I didn't look at any spoilers or what other people were thinking. And there was one art concept of Rey with a double yellow lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, oh, I hope she has a double yellow lightsaber so we can see, number one, something different. And she has a double lightsaber because she's, you know, always had that staff and, you know. And it was so cool when she had it and you could see how it was a double, like, you know,
from yeah.
the bottom. And I went, oh, yes, you know. But it was such a shame we didn't get to see her use it, but oh well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have not been to Galaxy's Edge at Disney World or Disneyland yet, but I hope to go at some point. And they have the lightsaber building studio there. And it's cool that you can choose more crystals to put in there for colors. I think when you build it, you get either red, blue, or green, but then you can, for like $15, get different colored crystals you can put in there and play around with it more. So,
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's,
I'm happy, like, they're canonizing more colors.
Yeah, well, it's like, for any listeners out there, we actually, here we go, promoting my own show. It's true, all of it. On our episode, 16, well, there you go. We only had the part 2 of Mike Quinn interview, which... great, lovely, fun guy. A friend of mine, Dave, he had been training me like a lightsaber, like sword fighting duel technique.
Mm-hmm.
We did stop due to a lot of things, and we are obviously stopping now for other reasons as well, which kind of sucks. But I've learned a lot from him. But that was just fun doing the whole like combat to combat, striking each other, and then. Talking about choreograph, I'd obviously prefer choreograph, but I will soon have time to look at those sites such as Ultra Sabers where you get to choose your color and your, you know, how you want your hilt and that. And mm-hmm. I'd like to, yeah, and ones that you can hit each other with. So like if you hit another sword, it's not going to break, but it's mm-hmm. also going to look good and look proper. So you can, if you want to be in Rebel Legion, you know, dressing up as a rebel, yeah, you know, looking legit. Your lightsaber will look cool, but yeah, I think even with those, you can sort of get those multicolors so you can have an amber or mm-hmm. yellow, orange, purple, something blue. Yeah, change it. That's what I prefer because I just, yeah, it's just so cool having different colors for a different character and a different, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a chance to be creative. So, you know, I personally don't see no reason not to choose the most creative option out there. This has been a great little tangent. I love this. I haven't really talked much about lightsabers on the show before, so it's nice to have had this opportunity. Going back to the figures, though, I just got one more kind of pressing question there. And which clone trooper do you have the most of? Just like the basic or any specific character?
Oh, okay. That's actually, for the clone trooper, I'd have... I would say the Shock Trooper, the Revenge of the Sith Shock Trooper. Now, when you're talking about how many of each is, this is like when I've taken them out of packet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'll send you a photo, you know, if and whenever I can find it. actually, it probably wouldn't take me that too long to find anyway. But like, I've got a photo of Palpatine with, you know, he's wearing red and he's standing with two red royal guards. And then behind him, he's got like 8 or 9 or 10 shock troopers.
Oh, cool.
You got the commander. And then I've got another Attack of the Clones style Palpatine in blue with the blue Revenge of the Sith clone troopers, about 6 of them or something. So probably just a couple short. So the shock troopers win. I love the red on them a lot. I also liked it, reminded me recently of the Clone Wars episode with the Bad Batch. Hunter has like a black and a red kind of client. If there's a figure like that, that's something I'd grab, you know.
Yeah, I really hope, you know, they roll out Bad Batch gear and stuff to buy out and toys and things, because it's such a neat aesthetic. I'd love to have all those. Yeah, I had,
I think they will, yeah.
And I lost it. The I had a Commander Fordo from the 2D Clone Wars.
Yes.
Yeah, and his red ARC trooper armor, which is just so cool. And but it was stylized to look real. So they had it him picked up and it was made, I forget which line it was, but to make him look like all the other live action characters. But okay. It was him. Yeah. Gosh, I wish I had it. I'll have to send you a picture if I could. Yeah, you may happen to have it already, but it's...
I'm not sure if I still got that one or if I sold it or what I did, but it was like a, yeah, from that cartoon, the 2003-04 Clone Wars animated mm-hmm. one. Yeah, it was a red one, but it was, yeah, or Arc Trip or something. Yeah, I'm going to have a look for that. You just have so many and you just have to get, you don't have to, but it takes up a lot of room, but you yeah. make choices, go, oh, I don't think I like that one anymore. And then you have a conversation like I am with you and you go, oh, why did I get rid of it?
Yeah, exactly. And then it's fun when there's ones that you have, you know, in storage in a tub somewhere, and when you get to go through it, and just the memories. And even if you're like, oh, this is one that I'm going to sell or give to someone who appreciate it, you can just give yourself a little bit of time to, you know, look over it and kind of walk down memory lane a bit there. And that's, you know, to me, the best part about the figures, of course. You know, that it's representing the film and this important franchise in the physical flesh that you can hold and put on display.
Yeah, yeah. And it was happy. It's like just what you said. The last few days during the week, I've bit by bit, I've taken them out and I just thought I'll put up the like vintage style collection because I thought I'm not going to have room for anything else. And then I'm thinking, if I could fit these, which ones would I have? Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to choose who deserves to go up. I'll have to put Bale or Gunner up, you know. Love that guy. Love Jimmy Schmitz.
Oh, then it's absolutely.
Like I had and he's got a holographic Obi-Wan talking to it. It's great. But then I wanted to put Kit Fisto with his shirt off or who else was it? It was Shark T. She's like in a kind of – it's weird, like a bikini kind of action outfit. And it's just so weird. Like they're not – like the Kit Fisto with his shirt off, that's when he goes swimming in the cartoons, the Clone Wars animated series, when mm-hmm. he's with the battles with the Quarren and the calamari, on calamari, sorry. But that Shark T, I'm thinking, it's so weird. I just found it once and went, this is so cool. But like, nah, I think Jimmy Schmitz, good old Bale Organa, he deserves a spot rather than them, you know?
Yeah.
Shark T and... Kit Fisto are already up there, so why should they have a second one? You know, just fun. No.
Yeah, even if it is their fun alt. Well, this has been really great. Thank you so much for giving me some of your time. And, you know, obviously we have the goofy time zone difference going on, so I'm always happy when we can make it work and record a little bit. So thank you very much, Sabologist. You can listen to... him and Dale on It's True, All of It, a Star Wars podcast. I highly recommend it. Their latest episodes, the Mike Quinn interviews, which is a Zoologist reference, are a lot of fun. They got some good stuff coming down the pipe, too. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure, and I'd love to do this again whenever we can.
Yeah, that is some really great stuff. Hopefully, the Zoologist will let me share a couple pictures that he showed with me for the promotions episode, because, like I said, he has an enviable collection, indeed. If you want to see more of his collection, you can actually go to the Instagram page for their podcast. The handle for that is It's True, All of It 33, and you can see that he's starting to share some of his collection, not just from the prequels era, of course. I mean, as he had mentioned, he has a ton of stuff from, you know, Empire Strikes Back, even Hoth as a particular. So it's super cool to revisit. And he posts a lot of other neat things there, too. But speaking about social media, I said that I was going to listen to the people of social media, and listen, I did. So I asked the question, what was your favorite action figure that you had from the prequels era, or currently have still? And we got a nice little amount of responses here. To open up, I shared the guy who was my favorite, which was the Hasbro Super Battle Droid. This guy was fantastic, because in addition to having a little rocket thing that you could attach to his arm and shoot, if you were to hit him the right way, he would blow up. So that worked perfect for the action scenes. I'd said previously I like to do some sort of cross-fandom fighting, so it was awesome to have, you know, Legolas take one of his elven blades and whack the battle droid right in the chest, and kapoof, pop up into a lot of pieces. With that tweet, at Connelberg, Connelberg, also had a fondness for that battle droid, saying, "This dude was great. I wish I still had a lot of my childhood Star Wars toys. Gave a bunch to the thrift store when I was a, in quotes, cool teenager, and became, in quotes again, too old for that stuff. Regret it, but glad some other kid probably got enjoyment from them." And, you know, I couldn't agree with that sentiment, you know, more. It's obviously hard when we, you know, lose stuff and we look back and there's a definite degree of nostalgia in missing what we had once had. But it's nice knowing that some other kid's enjoying it, even if they don't know who the character is, even if the mom was saying, "I need to buy an action figure for my kid. This guy looks cool." And the kid never knows that that is a super battle droid. Maybe not even knowing it's a character from Star Wars, they got to enjoy it, meaning they got to enjoy the fandom somehow. That's what I truly love. At Tarkin Tangents, or Dallas Rendar, said, "Just picked up this Mentor today," referencing the Ki Adi Mundi with the purple lightsaber, the very one we were just talking about that came out with the Phantom Menace, because, you know, we had only seen him sitting in his chair, no idea what lightsaber we had, so, you know, might as well make it purple, and I'm all the power to him. And it had the calm talk chip, so you have the voices of the characters going along with it too, you know, all two lines of Ki Adi Mundi that we get to have. Old Brad Kenobi, whose Twitter handle is Snoke's son-in-law, say, "I remember doing chores for 2 weeks to save up money for this guy once I found him." Referencing his Darth Maul action figure released before the Phantom Menace came out. I realize I cut that tweet off a bit. He said, "We knew nothing about him yet. That double-bladed saber had me hooked, as it had everybody hooked." And it's funny, you know, you look at this Darth Maul toy, which you can see, I retweeted this, and he responded to the initial thread. It's got these kind of, like, crazy-looking eyes and everything, and you see how intricate the Darth Maul stuff that's come out since are, but it's cool to see this is what ignited the imaginations of a whole new generation, or an old generation, of Star Wars fans. Then we had a tweet from our good friend Nikquishus, otherwise Mr. Babu Nick, host of the Imperial Senate podcast, you know, insisting, "I gotta differentiate between movies," meaning one for all three, "but hell yeah, these were my top contenders right here. They're in a box somewhere. Miss these guys." And so the three who he's talking about, I'll go film by film. For the Phantom Menace, he's got a young Anakin Skywalker with a little backpack, also having the Comm Talk chip, that cool little addition there, and it's got the, you know, it's a Hasbro, it's got the Darth Maul print that they had for the Phantom Menace, similar to the Ki Adi Mundi one we just mentioned. For Attack of the Clones, he had, oh, I had this one. This is fun. This is the Jango Fett Kamino Escape. It comes with a slew of weapons, and the jetpack that fires the missile, the removable helmet. That one was so much fun. I'm sure I lost various parts to it, but that came out at the same time as that battle droid I love so much. And then finally, for Revenge of the Sith, it is the Clone Commander with battle gear. This is the guy kind of with the ARC trooper look, with the skirt and kind of the red shoulder pauldron, the red and white, and got the little visor on there. And this is when the packaging is in the shape of Darth Vader's helmet. So those were super cool. I remember really wanting this guy, but like I said, this is when I was moving, so I didn't really collect it. Maybe I got to go back and find one for myself. Anyhow, that was a lot of fun. Thank you, fellas, for sharing that. And thank you again, Sabologist, for joining us for that interview. I want to give a shout out to one action figure that's very near and dear to me, but fails to be my favorite. And this is a guy who I picked up at Star Wars Celebration. What's fun about Celebration is they have so many toy vendors out there. And even if it's not in the package, I mean, you can just show up with like $50 of cash, $25 even, and you'll get a handful of awesome things. And one thing that I picked up for $4.50 was this Dex Jetster, kind of beaten up out of the container, of course, that was just in a tub. But he lives on my bookshelf. You can move all four of his arms, you know, so he can be trying to pull up his pants. He can twist his head, twist his big old belly that's poking out. And yeah, so he's currently sitting on my bookshelf. I'm looking at him right now, and he's holding the one ring to rule them all that I took from the Risk Lord of the Rings game. Because like I said, I like myself some crossovers. Anyhow, thank you so much for joining the show. Stay safe. Keep it, you know, clean and careful during this quarantine season that we find ourselves in. I mean, the good news about it is, you know, I've seen online that a lot of Star Wars fans are getting to unite and get to talk to each other for the first time over Skype and Zoom because, you know, time's permitting. And that's allowing me to have a lot of really cool guests on the show as well as be on a couple shows myself. So keep an eye out on the social medias and thank you. And I'll catch you guys around the corner.